Hi, this is Bob Pop, a voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast.
All right, then. All right, last but not least, then, we've got cornerbacks for the final time. Shane, top five.
Kev could annoy me with his top five. I want to see what he's doing. So at number five, I've gone for Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Four, I've gone for Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Three, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Two, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. And at number one, I've gone for Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo.
Right. Nice. Yeah. I respect it. Would you look at that? Look, Kev's top five at the cornerback position is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson at five, Kool-Aid McKinstry at Alabama at four, Terrion Arnold, Alabama at three, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa at two, and Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo at number one.
Same top five. Wow, there we go. All right. I think there's only one place we can start this off. And that's the guy that's named after a drink. Let's go with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Why is he in the top five, lads?
For me, he only just snuck in. In all honesty, I debated taking him out for Rakestraw, out of Missouri. Kool-Aid was on my radar last year, not because of his name, in case you would.
Liar.
It's a name that stands out. So when you hear that name when you're watching college football, you take notes. You're like, oh, okay. You just remember that name. I think he had a better 2022 than 2023 for me, although his grade wouldn't take otherwise. So this year he put a PFF grade of 88.6, coverage grade of 86.9. He played 14 games. He allowed 17 receptions on 37 targets. Gave up one touchdown with no interceptions. He had 10 forced incompletions. For me, it come down to the reason he stayed in my top five, a little bit like I mentioned with Cameron Kitchens, it's what he did last year as well. So, look, I'm not saying he had a good year this year. I preferred what I saw from him last year, personally. When I combine the 2 years, that's what sort of solidified him in that top five for me, as opposed to going for Rakestraw out of Missouri.
Yeah, I like McKinstry. Just to say a few things about him. So his actual name is, I hope I pronounce this right, JaQuincy McKinstry. Of course, as Kool-Aid was given to him by his grandmother because of a smile when he was a baby, apparently. But he was a highly touted recruit. He was like Mr. Alabama football in 2020. He played in his freshman season. He played all 15 games. He was SEC all freshman team. In his second season, played all 13 games. Was second team all American. Last year, he played all 14 games and was first team all American. He's a good run defender, 8.1 missed tackle rate last year. He's got good length, good speed, good explosiveness. He's better in zone than he is in man coverage. He gets a bit handsy in man coverage, as people run down the field. So, could give away penalties at the next level. But to be fair, he's got good ball skills. And he was only targeted 39 times all of last season. So I think that's why his production was a little bit lower. Because people aren't targeting, and then maybe that's why Terrion Arnold's production was higher, because teams were going that way with the ball. I do like him as a good player. I think he can be a very, very good corner in this league, and that's why I got him a little bit higher than Shane.
Nice. All right, then let's go with number two, Cooper DeJean. Kev, why is he number two for you?
Because he's not a safety. Isn't that right, Shane?
Yeah, I've seen people saying he's a safety. I'm like, no. Can he play safety? Yes. But, can rain pegs give him square holes? Of course.
I mean, the geezer's just an athletic freak. I mean, in high school, he played quarterback and defensive back. He also played basketball, baseball. He ran track. His parents were All-American athletes at the university level. He's Iowa's second leading scorer in basketball, behind TJ Hockerson and Sacramento Kings NBA forward Harrison Barnes. He had the fastest 100-yard dash of any runner in the state during his senior year. He actually chose to play defensive back at Iowa. Instead, he actually had a scholarship offer from South Dakota State to be a quarterback. Like, he's just, you know, last season he played 10 games. He was a first-team All-American. He's, like I said, he's just an absolute athlete. Really good speed, really good agility. He's physical. He's disciplined in coverage. He's got good quickness. He has a nose for the boy. Three pick sixes in 22. He's good at mirroring players. He's fast. I mean, what was his? Let me just see what his 40 time was.
He didn't run at the combine due to injury, but I believe he's performing at his pro day.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I mean, like, he's just a gamer. He's not a gamer. They play special teams as well as a gunner and a returner. I mean, what's not to like about him? I mean, he's just a really, 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 really good prospect. And if he comes into a team, if you need someone to start at safety, someone to start at nickel, someone to start at cornerback, he's your starting player at all those positions. So yeah, I just love him. I think he's a really good prospect, and he'll be a top cornerback in this league.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we've got so many holes that we've got, because, you know, a potential trade down and picking him up with the lack of depth we've got at safety and cornerback, he would be perfect in my opinion for kind of what we need at the minute. I think for me, he was cornerback one until last week when I decided to go with my instinct on Quinyon Mitchell, which we'll talk about in a little while. But I think Cooper DeJean, I think the reason why he's kind of falling off the radar a little bit with some people and being overlooked is just because he didn't perform at the combine and he had a little bit of an injury, but, you know, he's come out and said he's going to be performing at his pro day. So, you know, the injuries are all aside. And I think if he'd have performed at the combine, there'd have been a lot more chatter about him potentially being a kind of top 10, top 12 pick.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Producer Craig, we've had a comment about Cooper DeJean. Maybe a controversial one. Do you want to throw it up on screen for us? So, Dale, Cooper's going to drop out of the first round. Lads.
Oh.
What do we say to that?
I mean, I'll let you take that one first.
Thanks. I respect Dale's opinion. At the end of the day, he thinks that... Look, I think people are probably thinking that because he's not performed at the combine and... All these other cornerbacks, like Quinyon Mitchell's turned up at the combine, balled out. Nate Wiggins turned up at the combine, balled out, ran a 4.26, I think it was, or 4.28. Cooper wouldn't have ran them times. He wouldn't have ran in the 4.2s. Maybe late 4.3s, early 4.4s, potentially. But, you know, these other players have been to the combine. People have watched they've gone up boards. And because he's not been able to perform, I think he's just been overlooked a little bit. But I think, you know, when you watch the tape with Cooper DeJean, you don't lose what he's got.
I completely agree. I mean, I think that Dale is a bitter Bears fan as well. So, maybe he's just trying to get us a bit of a talk going and the wind up maybe. But no, I mean, Cooper Jean, I mean, it would be astonishing if he fell out of the first round. He's just so much better than a lot of the other prospects in this class. I mean, like I said, it's just got it all, and it's too easy for people to say he should be a safety when he's not. He's an absolute outstanding cornerback.
Sounds like someone we could do with having in our team. All right, let's go with Quinyon Mitchell then in number one. Shane Wisey.
I love Quinyon Mitchell. I wish we could draft. Oh man, the thought of Quinyon Mitchell and Deontay Banks on the perimeter each.
Listen, Shane, calm down. It's okay.
It's annoying a little bit, to be fair, because for me, Quinyon Mitchell, he was in my top five, like when I started doing my top five, and he slowly started bumping up a little bit. Like, he was at five, then he was at four. And then I was like, you know what? I'm a Quinyon Mitchell guy, massively. Like, he balled out at the combine. Just getting his stats up there. So he come in at 6 foot 195 pounds. He ran a 4.33 40-yard dash, 1.51 10-yard split, 38-inch vert, 10 foot 2 inches broad jump, and put up 20 reps on the bench press as well. I think Quinyon Mitchell, he's going to be a stud in this league. I really do. And I'm a little bit gutted Kev had him at one because I was like, oh, I'm going to be ballsy. I'm going to put Premier Mitchell at number one. Everyone's got Cooper DeJean or Terrion Arnold at number one, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go with Quinyon Mitchell at number one. You know, last year he put up a 91.5 PFF grade. The year before he put up a 92.5 PFF grade. This past season he played, where is he on my spreadsheet there? He played 13 games. He was targeted 62 times and gave up 27 receptions for 290 yards. He had one interception and zero touchdowns allowed. 17 forced incompletions. So, you know, he's a player that likes to get his hand up in there and stop that ball. And, you know, that's kind of something that can catch players out at the next level when they're transitioning from college to the NFL. He's been able to turn that head, just put their hand in there and jar the ball loose. You know, I'm a massive Quinyon Mitchell guy and, you know, I wish we could draft him. He's comfortably CB1 for me.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I mean, like, he's got ideal build. He's got all the measurables, high football IQ. He reads the quarterback really, really well. Played very, very good at off coverage. Some of the stuff that, six interceptions, 27 pass breakups over the last two seasons. He uses his hands well in coverage. He avoids the, he's careful not to get called for pass interference, which is huge, especially at the college level. He's good in run support. Just on the negatives, but I mean, like, when you hear these negatives, it's going to be like, you'll be like, it doesn't really matter. But like, so we didn't see him in press man coverage because the Toledo didn't play that. So you only know if he can do it. He dominated against lesser competition. But he didn't play anyone big time. Okay. But those two things, he went to the Senior Bowl and balled out. He showed he could play press man coverage. He showed he could go up against the best of the best at the Senior Bowl. So like any sort of like negatives you kind of have with him, he kind of proved those a bit at the Senior Bowl, but it will be interesting to see what he does in the league going forward. But I mean, he kind of like, for some small school prospect to prove yourself, he has done everything asked of him throughout this whole draft process and in the season, playing in season, to be dominant, because you can only play what's in front of you. So he's dominant against what was in front of him. He went to the Senior Bowl, was dominant against the best players, and he tested outstanding at the combine. So he's just ticking all the boxes.
I'd probably say that outside of JJ McCarthy, nobody else has elevated and boosted their draft stock more than Quinyon Mitchell has since the season ended.
Yeah, I mean, by the sounds of it, he's going to be, like I said, a top prospect in the league, and he's going to do work, play well in the league. But, I mean, obviously, we've got a bit of a hole at corner. Obviously, we took a cornerback in the first round last year in Tay Banks. You know, we've got some real young guys in at corner. You know, Cordell Flott's 22, Banks is 22, Trey Hawkins is 23. You know, so we've got some young, exciting players there. But Where do we get a replacement for a Dory Jackson from? Do we get it in the draft or do we get it in free agency?
I think it depends on what you do. Do you want that veteran presence or do you want someone that's got potential? Because you could pick up a very solid cornerback on day two, in all honesty. It just comes down to, do you want to play Banks, who's only had 1 year of experience with alongside a player who's had 0 years experience in the NFL, or do you want that veteran presence on the team?
Yeah, because we haven't really got that sort of perfect Pinnock, could you say, would be a veteran presence in the DB room? I mean, we kind of need something to happen there. I mean, but I think that's round two, round three is a sweet spot to get a CB2 in this draft. I mean, like, obviously these top five players will likely go in the first round. But then you're looking at, when the second round, you're looking at players like Ennis Rakeshaw out of Missouri, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, Cam Hart, Max Belton out of Rutgers, Renato Green out of Florida State. You know, these are all players that with that second, third round pick would come in and be your starting cornerback two, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is that, are there any players there to pick on day two or three? So you've answered that already, Kev, so thanks very much. But no, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, those players that will be there in the second or third round, because we do need some, we're going to need someone at corner, but whether we go with a rookie or whether we go with experience, who knows? we'll see what happens in a few weeks. But, you know, there's definitely some names to...
Just because I know it'll annoy Kev. James has just mentioned that a few NFL analysts are suggesting Cooper DeJean will be converted to a safety at the NFL level.
let's just address the elephant in the room. It's because he's a white cornerback, and there hasn't been one since Jason Sehorn in the 90s or early noughties or whatever it was. That's the reason you want to try and pigeonhole him in there, like I'm not standing for it. But like even a couple of names on day three, like I quite like the look of Quantez Stiggers, who's an interesting story. He's actually comes from the CFL, the Toronto Argonauts. You know, he never went to college because of some stuff at home. He couldn't go to college. He had to stay home, look after his family. So he's only coming into the draft now because you have to be 3 years removed from high school to be eligible. Now he's a player who kind of played indoor arena football, went up to Canada and has balled out there. He got rookie of the year last year in his first year. Now he's entering the draft. I mean, DJ James out of Auburn, who's a great player, but he's a little bit small. He's only 175. And I just want to get Shane's take on Kalen King. Now, if anyone's stock has been taking a battering through this off-season process, especially the combine, is Kalen King's. Well, what's your opinion on him, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, when I started all this, I was like, right, can I get Kalen King in my top five? And I was like...
Fifth round, you mean?
Yeah, literally, I can't. I mean, Kalen King is someone he might sneak into round three, potentially, depending on kind of what run you have on cornerbacks. But, you know, I mean, last year he played 12 games. He allowed 25 receptions on 41 targets for 290 yards. He didn't give up any touchdowns. He didn't have any interceptions either. Three forced incompletions, but his coverage grade was only a 55.7. And just
but he was so much better the year before, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he should have been a top five. Not pick. He should have been in a top five for cornerback in this draft class, and he didn't really have a great season, to be honest. And you know, I mean, I'd kind of argue I might like Johnny Dixon a little bit more than Kalen King. In all honesty, another Penn State lad.
Is he more of a slot guy though?
Yeah, he'll probably be a day three kind of guy. But I mean, you know, slot's a bit of an issue for us. I mean, I know Dan doesn't want to see big play Darnay there. So, you know, his issues. I mean, like, you know, I mean, is that something maybe we look at? I know we've mentioned it before, but do you try and get Cordell to put on a little bit of size and maybe draft a slot and try and see what Cordell can do out in CBT? I mean, I don't think he's quite going to be good enough, but it's just an alternative option. But yeah. Kalen King, Johnny Dixon, two Penn State guys, probably day three picks.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, talking about slot quickly, I mean, you're looking at, like, was it Mike Sanistril out of Michigan, who's an awesome, awesome, he's only 5'9", so he's obviously a slot, but he's got that dog in him, he has. And you got Tyke Smith out of Georgia, Jaron Jones from Craig's Florida State, you know, Chris Abrams-Drain. These are all, like, slot nickel cornerbacks that you can kind of get in the third to fourth, fifth round type thing. But Shane, Daquan Hardy, what was he like last year?
He had a really good year, to be honest with you. You know, Kev's back. I wonder where he'd gone then. Daquan Hardy, he was kind of like a little bit like Kalen King was last year, but just better. You know, there's a lot of hope for Hardy. But I just whilst we're on the topic of cornerbacks, I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but I quite like Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon as well.
Massive though, isn't he? He's huge.
He's 6'4", I think he is. But yeah, so he's another player I'd be looking at kind of on that day. Probably day.
No, you can move him to safety with that size.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the point is, sorry, the point is, Dan, like, it's so deep, this cornerback class. I mean, there's fantastic players at the top. There's real, real starting cornerback twos all the way down to the third, fourth round. And then you've got your, like, sort of slot guys or third string cornerbacks you could get even in the fifth and sixth round. So it's such a deep class. Like, you know, that's what I was saying before. I'd like us to come away with a potential player who could push for a starting position at the cornerback spot.
Nice. And obviously looking back at Joe Shane's last two drafts. I mean, we've taken no less than five defensive backs in the last 2 years in the draft. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do pick another defensive back somewhere. Obviously, Banks, Trey Hawkins, Javarius Owens, Cordell Flott, and Dane Belton being those five that we picked up in the last 2 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do pick up another one at some point or another throughout the draft this year, because Shane clearly likes his, Joe Shane clearly likes his defensive backs, whether it's corner or safety. So yeah, it's good to hear that there's a deep cornerback class, because we do definitely need the help at corner. So it'll be interesting to see if we do pick one of these up. All right, there you have it. Kevin Shane's top five is 2024. Let us know what you think. Let us know in the comments. If you agree with their rankings, if you disagree with their rankings, if there's any names that stand out, if there's any names, sort of deep dive names that you think you like and would, you know, be a good fit for the Giants, get in touch with us. Drop it in the comments. Drop it on our comments on X, on Facebook, YouTube, wherever it may be. But that is all we have time for this evening, unfortunately, Giants fans. But we will be back live next Tuesday at the usual time of 8:30 to round up all the latest news, give you awesome day two and day three picks to look out for as well. And plus, we'll be doing our first Big League UK and Ireland mock draft of 2024 when we do a three-round mock draft next week. Kev's face is an absolute joy, so he's obviously looking forward to that. We've also got a bonus episode coming this Saturday where the boys had the pleasure to sit down and chat all things draft with Jordan DeLugo. Guys, what can the viewers and listeners expect from that?
Even more insight into the draft, to be honest. You know, it was a great chat with Jordan, very knowledgeable guy. We spoke about some players that we've mentioned on this episode. So, you know, if you want more draft content, don't worry. It's coming. It's on its way. Great content with Jordan, and looking forward to getting into the mock draft where we will not be drafting JJ McCarthy next week, Kev.
Yeah, no, it was a great podcast. I'm looking forward to that coming out, because Jordan definitely knows the stuff. You know, he's got his YouTube channel, Rogue Football, and it's just draft content, just draft. He absolutely knows what he's talking about. He's been doing it for years. He's a Jacksonville guy, and yeah, it's a real pleasure to get him on. And he's offered to come on post-draft as well to go through what the Giants picked. And it's good to get another set of eyes on players and sort of see what other people's views are, sort of see if they align with yours. But yeah, it's good. Look out for that this weekend. It's really good. It'll be a good listen and a good watch. And I'm looking forward to next week's show where we get to mock draft.
I'm looking forward to Saturday's episode, because obviously I wasn't on last night. So yeah, really looking forward to listening to that and hearing what Jordan's got to say. But anything else you want to add before we go, guys?
Nah, just like, you know, to our first official episode of Draft Month. Draft Month is finally here. You know, we've given a clue as to what we're doing last week. So where Kev is sat now, we're all going to be there in the war room, in our own war room, for 6 or 7 hours, however long it takes to go from an hour before the draft to the end of the draft. And all four of us are absolutely buzzing for it. Hotels are booked and everything. So, you know, like I said, draft content is not going to be stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, big time. You know, it's just, we're ramping it up now. You know, you've got our top fives out there. You've got a few names of people to look out for. We'll continue adding to those, you know, give our thoughts on who the Giants should pick all through the draft, who's standing out, who's going up and down. But yeah, the war room on draft night will be class. And like, get involved. If you're up watching it, watch it with us. I mean, one of the lads put in earlier on, he's booked time off work for it and everything. You know, since I've been on the draft, I've been booking the Fridays off as well, you know, because I just love staying up and watching all like the random picks and stuff. But yeah, like, ask questions, like, get involved. It'll be really interactive. You know, we'll be interacting, we'll be answering all lots of questions, get people on. It'll be a really, really good fun night. I'm looking forward to seeing you boys again in real life. Yeah, it's ramping up now. It's no letting up. Draft in 3 weeks Thursday.
Three short little weeks, boys, until we're all together in that room having a few drinks and enjoying the first round of this year's draft. Cannot wait. And also, yeah, obviously we've got potentially raffles, competitions, things like that coming up as well. So keep your eyes and ears open for those things as well, because there's lots more to come from us on draft night. And as I said at the top, you can check out all of our social platforms and our merch store by following the links in the description, and give this episode a like and a share on your platform of choice as well. We appreciate the love as always. My thanks as ever go to Shane and to Kev for joining me. To you, the viewers and listeners, for tuning in. We are signing off. Until next time, let's go Giants.